Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's Heart 1032, available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
You know, it was Oscar Wilde who once said, "We live in an age where unnecessary things are our only necessities." You ponder that for a while and it really seems to ring true, doesn't it? We're bombarded with advertisements telling us what's hot and what we need to have right now to be considered worthwhile in the whole scheme of humanity. But are we absolutely being duped? Mark Sayers is one of Australia's leading commentators on social and theological trends, particularly relating to young adult Christians. And he's given a lot of thoughts to the whole perils of consumption. He's produced this DVD called The Trouble with Paris, and he joins us now. Mark, welcome to Open House.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, I'm assuming you're not talking about France there. You're talking about Miss Hilton.
Well, it's actually a bit of both.
Yeah?
So it's mainly about Paris Hilton, but also even the fact that something like the city of Paris can sort of hold this allure for people that are going to there on a holiday can sort of help you escape the drudgery of your life for a little while.
Yeah, okay. Well, in both meanings of the word Paris then, what is the trouble with Paris?
I guess too, like for me, for years, I used to be a youth pastor and sort of couldn't work out the sort of trend, the fact that Australian young Christians sort of end up leaving their faith in their early 20s. And sort of as I thought about this more and more, I began to realise that so many of them, when they talked to me and I'd sit down and have a coffee with them, that they felt that they were ripped off. And I couldn't work out why they were ripped off. And basically, one girl one day said to me, "You know, Mark, I was promised this awesome life and it never arrived." And as I began to investigate more, I realised that, you know, consumer culture promised them this wonderful life and they'd sort of become entangled with that and how they viewed their faith. And of course, this sort of superstar Hollywood life hadn't arrived and they felt quite angry and ripped off.
So the idea was they were kind of projecting what consumption was saying could do for us onto the Christian faith. Well, the Christian faith should be able to do this and more.
Totally, yeah. So, like, I mean, they'd quote verses back to me, you know, well, Jesus said, you know, that we come to have life in abundance and these sort of things. And, it was quite fascinating how sort of the promises of consumerism, they'd read over a lot of the promises of the Bible.
That's interesting. How did we get to this stage? How have we become so enmeshed in this, and particularly the 20-somethings that you deal with in particular?
Well, I think too. I mean, there's a long history of the history of consumption, but that goes on for, I guess, a couple hundred years. But a big part of it, really, is for me, is that advertising now has really moved beyond, I guess, selling products on the basis of their function, and now advertisers and marketers put all different layers of meaning, which almost have nothing to do with the product upon them. So it could be people's desire for intimacy, for sex, for community, for meaning. And increasingly, advertisers are putting, I would say, meanings over the top of things that would have spiritual dimensions. So in a secular society where, I guess, there's a spiritual vacuum, advertisers now are almost becoming, I guess, the new priests.
I think you've put your finger on that right in the right place, because I was at a petrol station the other day and an advertisement for a new brand of tea, I think it was iced tea, came up, and it was interesting. Obviously, it was to be consumed after you've had a very hard night in the town, and the actual positioning statement for it was, "Wash away your sins."
Well, it's when you look out for this stuff. Often people who come to seminars and stuff I do sort of go away and they'll email me later and just go, "I can't believe how much spiritual language is now used by advertisers." It's quite incredible.
Yeah, well, we've got the heaven ice creams.
Yep.
A whole bunch of other things. Now, we often try to get our identity from the things that we buy. I mean, that's a big thing with clothes. It's a big thing with fashion. But as you said, advertisers really use the whole thing. You will be attractive if you use Lynx underarm deodorant at the moment. That's really being pushed, etc. What happens when we start to define ourselves by brands?
Well, I guess, you know, when you study consumption, you realise that there's an end stage. So at one point, we begin to define ourselves by brands. Then ultimately the end game of that is that we become brands ourselves. So if you look at particularly, say, members of Generation Y and kids under 25 and sort of teenagers, things like MySpace and Facebook and social networking websites almost become their own brand portfolios. So now young people are operating in the same ways that companies do. So they put pictures on there which have them in sort of their most favourable photos. They have as many friends as possible, and it's almost trying to create this publicity around just being an individual. And I have lots of young people come up to me and just say, "This is an incredible burden to have to maintain this all the time, and it's quite stressful And I'm actually not jealous that I'm a teenager at the moment, because it's really tough to maintain that sort of brand identity now.
So where do you even begin to help the 20-somethings that you started this interview off by talking about to almost divest themselves? And hey, let's include ourselves in this, divest ourselves of being swept up in consumption and defining ourselves by brands.
Well, I guess for me, the sort of starting point I quite strongly believe in is that really for, out of the UK, there's this study called the Study of Implicit Religion, which basically makes the point in a secular society, people are still religious. We just use sporting events or Tats Lotto or these sort of things almost as quasi-religious events or symbols. So for me, consumerism is the biggest, sort of implicit religion in our midst today. So I begin talking and just saying to, say, young people, hey, well, what if you bought something when you're feeling down and has it made you feel better? And all the hands go up in the room and you start talking about advertising, and very quickly the people I talk to start to realize how much we've bought into this. And we sort of, from a rational sense, don't actually believe the promises, but from an emotional sense, a heart sense, we actually do. So I really start to, explore that. So part of me doing the DVD was trying to take people on this sort of process where you A, question all the promises of consumer society, and then B, also look at the realities of life. I'm amazed by how many young people say, wow, I never expected my parents to get sick, or there's no pain in life because TV didn't say there was. You know, it sort of shocks me. But then lastly, I really try and introduce in a new way young people to, an idea of the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God, plays against a lot of the promises of consumer society.
Right. So you start to tell them about the life that God does offer and how that's a little bit different to the consumption that we're offered. And yet, how do you make the steps? Ultimately, people are going to have to stop buying brands to kind of not be defined by them. Or have I taken it too far? Maybe we can still be a part of this and yet not being defined by it.
Well, I use the differential, and I've had arguments with different friends who sort of say, look, the whole system's got to go and so on. But I guess the way I personally define it is that I would say that there's consumerism and hyper-consumerism. At one point, a guy who sells a lawnmower should be able to say, buy this lawnmower, it works well, it's got a track record, et cetera, et cetera. But when he's telling me to buy a lawnmower so that I can gain this sense of community that, you know, or meaning, or be attractive to supermodels, that's when you've got to, you know, sort of got to question the motivation there. So for me, there's almost a sort of human rights issue here, that some of our most deepest human desires are actually used against us. So I guess I'm concerned about hyper-consumerism rather than just necessarily consumerism. So I think there is ways that we can still operate in this society, but we really need to question a lot of these things, which really, when you look at them, they're not that much different from how people in tribal societies actually look at magic items. If you look at someone in a tribal society and go, how can they believe that this idol can heal their child or make them happier? But then someone goes and buys a HSV Commodore and actually secretly believes that's going to make their marriage better or them happier.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, very, very interesting. Okay, you introduced this concept of the kingdom of God, or the values that God then calls the new community called Christians to actually live by. Are there one or two of those values, or one or two of those aspects of that kingdom that you're talking about, that you start to communicate to those who are trying to divest themselves of brand identity and things?
I think one, a huge one, is that in a consumer society, we ultimately begin to be judged by, if we're all brands now and products, we're judged by our packaging. Now, you know, all of us, you know, are sort of increasingly, sucked into this thing of how much money people spend on clothes now and cosmetics and all these things. And I guess I often start with a group and saying, well, you know, imagine a really fashionable nightclub. It's filled with beautiful people. They're lining up at the door to get in. There's a guy there who turns people away who aren't attractive enough. And then I said, imagine for a second that you have cerebral palsy. Are you going to get into this nightclub? And everyone goes, no. And I go, well, actually, what I'm talking about, the kingdom of God, is actually a place where actually you're not valued on what you look like on the outside, but actually God values your internal self, that your character, you know, your goodness on the inside. And in God's kingdom, the person who has cerebral palsy might actually get in first, rather than the supermodel. And you begin to talk about this stuff, and you can sort of see people clicking on in their minds as they start to hear this stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. We've been sold a lie, and it does make the offer that is made by God very, very attractive when you actually put it, because deep down, none of this stuff is actually satisfying us. And more and more, we're still yearning for that true sense of community, that true sense of embrace and acceptance that actually only God through Jesus can give us.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly.
Very interesting. Now, this is a bit ironic for you because I believe you initially wanted to go into the advertising industry. Is that right?
Yeah. I left high school and actually studied advertising. But also, at the same time as doing that, I spent some time in my holidays going and working with gangs in Los Angeles. And so I had quite this contrast of being in Melbourne studying advertising and then being in sort of ghetto America, if you like, working with these incredibly poor people, many of whom were Mexican and Cambodian migrants to the United States who got caught up in this gang violence. So for me, it was this real contrast, which I guess still comes through in a lot of the stuff I talk about, you know, trying to contrast those two worlds and what God's doing in both those worlds.
Yeah. Well, fascinating to talk to you tonight, and I can see how all of those strands in your life have been pulled together to then wake us up to something that is consuming us in the end. So thanks for joining us, Mark.
No worries.
Yeah, do appreciate it. It's Mark Sayers. He is a social and theological commentator, particularly focused on 20-something issues. He's the author of a DVD called The Trouble with Paris. It's coming out in the US in March. And also a pastor of the Red Network group of churches in Melbourne. His website, uberlife.com.au. That's uberlife, uberlife.com.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Heart 1032 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.